Oh yeah, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's Drive Time Paranormal Broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Ghostanddemon.com. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
This is Ghostly Talk.
Lions won, just had to mention that.
Yeah, that makes
hell
no
has
sense.
Frozen over.
Sean Burris from the Ghostman Demon Hunter show had to text me on our break and let me know about that.
Since you brought him up.
Speaking of the ghost
tomorrow
man.
Tomorrow is his birthday. Happy birthday, Shawnee Lee. I love you. And
which is awesome. Congratulations.
Tuesday is Timmy Ancy and Patrick Burns' birthday. So happy birthday to you as well.
Wow. Everybody, why didn't we get invited to the parties?
Well,
apparently. Oh, we have to do the show, you know.
They live in Georgia and Florida and Indiana.
Chuck and I would still go.
I'd drive. You got
what do we have coming up here? Who do we have on the line here right
well,
now?
Well, we've got, this is going to be a great hour, because Marie D. Jones is the author of Science and 2013, The End of Days or a New Beginning. She is co-founder of Para Explorers with Larry Flaxman, with whom she wrote 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. And then, of course, Larry Flaxman is president of RPAS, the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies Team, and co-founder of Para Explorers. He serves as a technical consultant to several paranormal research groups, and he's been widely interviewed for print, TV, and also radio.
I hope this radio don't count.
Well, we're going out.
We'll decide
somewhere.
That by the end of this discussion.
But what we're talking about, yeah, what we're going to talk about is the new book, The Resonance Key. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff in this upcoming hour. The websites are www.mariedjones.com and of
also,
course, www.paraexplorers.com. And those will be permanently linked up over at ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, for sure.
Marie and Larry, welcome to Ghostly Talk, and good luck.
And I'm sorry.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's really great having you back, Larry and Marie, finally having you join us here and there. I always hate pimping these guys, but they're being hosted on Skype tonight. We're going to be talking to them. They're both on Skype, so the quality. And people love the
quality. Is going to be crystal clear.
Yeah, it's really cool, so we got to give Skype prompts for that. Now, let's talk about Para Explorers to start out with. I mean, what is Para Explorers all about? You know, and I'm having Larry and Marie, how did you guys get together to put this thing together?
Oh, gosh. Marie, you want me to get that one?
Sure. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, how we actually met was because of Marie's book, Science. I had read her book, Science. I was very impressed with it. There was really, and I still believe to this day, that there really is a lack of decent scientific-based literature within the paranormal field. I think we're starting to see more of that, but really Marie's book, as far as I'm concerned, really was one of the first, if not the only really good scientific-based book that talks about paranormal phenomena. So I read her book. I was impressed enough to find out how to get a hold of her. I contacted her with the intention really of telling her that, you know, her book really made an impact on me and that it was great to have something like that out in the field. We kind of hit it off as friends. And we decided we wanted to do some work together. We wanted to write a book. So we put together a proposal for a book that totally didn't get picked up. But Marie's publisher basically said, well, how about if you guys write about this? Which ended up being our first book, 1111.
Mm-hmm.
It really snowballed from there. And then, you know, then for the second book, we kind of did the same thing. We gave a proposal, well, we'd like to write about this. And they said, well, no, how about you write about this? And now we have a third book that it'll be out in June that we're writing right now that it really is it's really about what we wanted to write about the first time around.
Well, we sort of are progressing towards some big, big magnum opus here.
Yes, so we're finally, with our third book, we're really getting to, although that's not completely true, with our second book, we really got to introduce a lot of the concepts that we had been kicking around. But that's how we met. That's how we decided to get together and to partner with doing Para Explorers and doing our research and work together.
Okay, and Para Explorers itself, I mean, what do you guys do with Para Explorers?
Well, Para Explorers, it's our... I don't really want to say it's just our writing website, because I think potentially there's a lot more to it than that. It's our partnership, basically, where we can explore things that are outside of the purview of my organization, our past,
mm-hmm.
while still using some of the resources of our past as far as our extensive equipment, our personnel resources, et cetera, where we can actually research and investigate a lot of the unusual, anomalous phenomena that's out there, but that really doesn't fall within the lines of what we want to do within our past. So, you know, whether it's UFO, Bigfoot, cryptozoology, you know, things like that. The stuff really that falls outside of our past really is the things that we're concentrating on with Para Explorers.
Well, yeah. Go ahead,
Marie. Tend to be writing all these books. When Larry and I first decided to partner, which is something neither one of us had ever thought we would ever do,
yeah.
You know, our idea was, let's come up with products, let's do this, let's go exploring. We got 1, 2, 3 book deals back to back so quickly. Now, I've been publishing books for a long time, and that is unprecedented.
Yeah.
And literally, that's all we've been doing, is writing these books and then promoting them, and then boom, the next one is due, and then we got to promote that.
Yeah.
And so we're writing it. I mean, we're taking that as far as we can, and we keep saying, we said after the book we're working on now, we're going to take a break. We're going to focus on doing all these other things we always talk about, but you watch.
Marie, we actually said that after our second book.
Yeah. No, Larry, we said that after the first one.
yeah, after the first one.
Well, let's talk a little bit about 1111, the time prompt phenomenon. That title alone really kind of whets my appetite. Let's talk a little bit about the book. What's it based on? You know, what got you guys started on this?
Well, it was an idea, a counter idea mm-hmm. from the publisher.
Well, yeah.
So how did you sink your teeth into it?
Called each other, we were like, oh my god, do we really want to write a book about numbers?
I think our first reaction when we both talked to each other was, what the hell?
Yeah.
Neither one of us really knew that there was really a widespread phenomenon. I mean, we both at times in our lives have experienced what we later knew to be the 1111 phenomena, but we really didn't think that it was something that was that there really was nobody else that was experiencing that. We really didn't think that there was a widespread phenomena. So we really had we thought we were going to have a really hard time finding research material for it, which definitely didn't turn out to be the case. But it actually turned out to be, you know, when we first got the word back from the publisher, you know, asking us if we wanted to write that, our first thought was, oh crap, what are we getting ourselves into? Where are we going to pull this information from? And then when we started actually doing research, it was like, it just was flowing and flowing and flowing.
Yeah, and we ended up with, you know, probably enough to fill a second book on the same subject matter. So just goes to show you, sometimes your publisher does know best.
Yeah. Well, what did you guys get out of that?
Well, it's interesting, because sometimes I've noticed the most intriguing things come from unexpected places.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you know, you're running along and you're like, we want to write a book about, and I don't know, pick
widgets.
Widgets everywhere. Widgets are, you know, even Hannah Montana advertises widgets. We want widgets. And then you take that and they go, well, you know, that's a good idea, but... no, I think you should write about 11-11. It's like, wait, this is left field. So sometimes the most intriguing things come out of left field. So did what really turned you around on it, like when you started investigating?
We had to.
It was our job.
No. We gave them the proposal for what is now the Resonance Key, and that was the one we really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a trade-off. It was, if we do this book, then we know we can get the next one published. So we literally took a break from doing the one we wanted to do, bumped that one back a little bit, because we really signed for the Resonance Key right after we got the 11-11 deal. But it turned out to be really cool. I mean, we learned much about so many things that I had no clue existed, and people just went nuts over the book. So it was well worth it.
I think also, Marie and myself both are really not math people by any stretch of the imagination. When it really goes beyond balancing my checkbook, I really don't want to have anything to do with it. I struggled through college algebra just barely passing. And we really, I think one of our goals and one of our missions in writing is that we want to provide and present very complex topics in a very easy to understand manner. Our goal is that we can present things from a scientific perspective that are generally very, very difficult to understand, and kind of distill it down for the common man like Marie and I, where, you know, the common person could actually understand it. One of our big fears when we started writing the book was we thought, you know, oh crap, we're going to get so drawn into mathematical terms and numbers, and it's going to be like a boring textbook. And really, that's, you know, our goal was that we wanted to provide a book that was informative, that was not like that, something where a person would read it and it would actually be fun, or it would actually be something that would be interesting and wouldn't put you to sleep.
So when we buy the book, we don't have to have a calculator, a pencil,
absolutely,
and some paper
not.
Next
slide
to
rule.
Or a slide rule.
No, absolutely not.
You have to know how to add. No.
Hey, Scott, no. If you as long as you can count out on your fingers and toes, you'll be fine.
Yay! You know what? There may be a problem with that, Larry. At this point in my life, I'm so cooked right now, I can't even...
Three of my fingers are unresponsive, too, as well, Scott. So they just don't count.
That's because they just don't like you anymore.
They don't like me anymore, yes.
It's the thumb, the index finger, and, of course, the middle finger. Yeah. I've worn both my middle fingers out to the point where forget it. I think we might be able to get through it somehow.
Yeah, think so, too. But 11-11, what is this worldwide phenomenon, then? For 11-11, what is it? The numbers people keep seeing. Isn't the flashing VCR.
What was that, Marie?
Time prompts. They're like number sequences that people see over and over again. Either several times a day, several times a week, throughout their lives, and sometimes they have personal meaning. Sometimes the person doesn't know why they're seeing that particular number sequence. With 11-11, though, there is also a collective meaning behind that. That is the time that the U.S. Naval Observatory has determined that the winter solstice will begin on December 21st, 2012, which we all know is when we're all going to burn in hell and die and, be raptured and all that.
Yeah.
Well, at least I'll be raptured. You guys will burn.
No, we'll be right there with you sipping Mai Tais, guaranteed.
I think I'd rather go to the south in the north.
I'm going
to
have a lot of fun.
Hell's where all the cool people are. I'm tired of hearing this crap.
I'm going to be with Bonnie.
They have all the good music there. We know that. Come on.
Guys, they'll have dancing girls. So anyway, that's where the 11-11 time prompt came from. And Larry and I, like we were saying, we didn't even know. We thought we were freaks because we were having this, but it turns out millions of people all over the world are seeing 11-11, and they have been for years, some as far back as the 1970s. So obviously there's something up with this particular time prompt.
Mm-hmm. We've heard of this before, and it is a worldwide thing. People, even like you just said, even back as far back as the 70s have been seeing these numbers. And I've, in other situations, too, we've talked to other people that, it isn't just 11-11. There's other numbers
Absolutely,
definitely. 11-11 is probably one of the more common ones that people will experience. Interestingly enough, when Marie and I were writing the book, I think we became kind of hyper aware of 11:11. It seemed like every time I would look down at my watch or look at my cell phone, it'd be 11:11. Many times, you know, we would send emails to each other, and, you know, Marie would reply back, or I'd reply back, hey, did you see the timestamp on the email? And it was exactly 11:11. That happened more times than I think we can keep track of.
Well, I know for a fact that Bro Perkins from Toronto, he pays attention to numbers that you see over and over. And I know for a fact that the lottery here in Michigan, when they used to advertise on TV or whatever, and even on the radio, they would, you know, they would set up a scenario where, like, you get your change from, you know, buying your candy bar or whatever, and it was, you know, $3.68, and then you're driving along and you see something that's, you know, 368 of them, and then you know, whatever, and you're supposed to go and bet 368, you know, or whatever. That's their whole, like, advertising campaign, because it's something that keeps up coming up over and over and over. And so I know that phenomenon definitely exists, and people do tend to pay attention to it.
Well, just to add, and this is a little off of the course of what we're discussing here.
I know.
It always is. I always screw up a conversation. I'm the worst segue person on the planet. But I have to mention this, because you were talking about being hyper-aware, Lori. And, you know, a lot, you know, especially with numbers, I'm sure when you guys were immersed in this work, you do become hyper-aware. And I don't know if it's being drawn to this number set or whatever it may be, but just yesterday, and this is not numbers at all, but it was a person. And Amber and I were driving, we were going to go do a little shopping, right, for Halloween. And I got, in my mind, I'm like, you know, Keith Brewer, we've had him here on the show a few times. He's helped us. He's done production work for us. He stepped in for you. He's a really good friend of ours, really big into ghost hunting and the paranormal himself, too. And as we were driving, I'm like, and literally, I mean, I kid you not about this. It has to do with hyper-awareness, I think, in some way, where I'm driving along and I go, boy, you know, I haven't talked to Keith in a little while. I wonder how he's doing. I wonder what's going on with Keith. I should really give him a call and see if he wants to get together for dinner tonight, or maybe have a drink or something like that and just hang out at his house or my house or whatever. And I kid you not 3 minutes later, it couldn't have been 3 minutes later, my phone vibrates in my pocket and I'm like, oh, I wonder who that could be. Right? And I opened my phone. Well, I look at my phone, and on the caller ID says Keith Brewer. Now, that really kind of just, like, I looked at Amber. I'm like, just weird. Weird.
Just count your blessings, because it wasn't a dream that was real. He also has dreams like this, and they go on for hours on end.
Oh, shut your mouth.
They go on for, like, 14 blogs.
Come on.
What my point is, my illustrious hosts are just stomping me into the ground here. But what my point is it seems like if you get your mind in a lot of situations, especially with, like, 11:11 here, for example, when you immerse yourself in something, as you guys have done, and again, I'm not saying that, I'm not knocking you saying there wasn't something, you know, weird going on there, but you're going to notice that number set a lot more than you would normally do. Do you guys follow what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the theories that we put forth in the book. And if, in fact, if anything, we probably give more support to that theory than the idea that there's some kind of spooky goings on. But yeah, absolutely. We look for patterns, and once we see them, it becomes habitual. We continue to see it all the time.
Yeah, no, and I
took my notes.
I took their notes. And I took Doug's notes and threw them off the table.
Yeah,
guys.
Don't
just,
say
you know,
there, because I didn't even rate notes tonight.
You're going to start an on-air fight, and this is not even professional at all.
It won't be the first on-air fight that you'll lose.
How does any of this thing?
Give Bonnie her notes so she quits her whining over there. No, but again, it is that hyper-awareness I think you guys are talking about. And it sounds like we're all on the same page with this kind of stuff. Doug, what do you have to say about that?
I have to say, what does that have to do with Residence Key? I want to talk about their latest project.
Let's get into that, though.
Because you guys have been project after project after project lately. So
tired.
I know how that is.
I'm looking at tickets to Costa Rica, honest to God, for vacation. Got my passport papers filled out. I'm ready.
I have an actual passport. So if you accidentally hit two on that ticket, you know, that's fine.
I can't wait.
The residence key, though. I mean, the name residence always just grabs me also as far as studying resonance itself. How'd you guys get started with this book and this project?
You know, I mean, when I wrote Science, there were three subjects that people kept coming up to me and contacting me and saying they wanted to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
And resonance was one of them. And I started to see it more and more in the scientific community, but not in the paranormal community. And yet I knew that there were connections. And so when Larry and I talked, we both realized that that was something that we really felt was on the cutting edge, and it was just about to explode into everybody's awareness. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to be the ones that put it there.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yes. Well, somebody had to do it, you know.
But in a 2 minute, because we have 2 minutes before break.
Yeah, we got to go to break.
2 minute explanation. I want you to grab me about no, not like that, Bonnie.
I'm sorry, I came into a bad place.
Yes,
or just
you
grab
did.
You.
I want you to grab my interest and tell me about Resonance Key and what am I gonna what do I get out of it? What does it mean to me? Describe it for me.
I'm not really sure you could do really justice to it in 2 minutes, but you know,
well, that's what the next half hour's for.
You know, suffice it to say, we both believe that resonance plays a very integral role in our reality. You know, whether it is our latent reality, what we see, you know, very much three-dimensional in front of us, mm-hmm. Or whether it's an explanatory agent for much, much more, we really believe that resonance and frequencies, specifically of resonance, can explain pretty much everything. You know, whether you guys are in the paranormal world, so, you know, you can certainly understand how we believe that resonance may be the key to a large percentage of what people experience as paranormal phenomena. Not probably everything. We definitely believe that there's more to it than just that, but it definitely may be a major player in what's going on.
It might be a mechanism by which what we're calling paranormal phenomena manifests.
Yeah.
So is resonance energy?
It's
vibration. It's energy. It's really, resonance is, it's a very all-encompassing word. It really, everything resonates, you know, from mm-hmm. the tiniest atom to the largest whale that's on the earth. Everything is made up of particles, and every single particle or every piece of atom, every atom that's in a object resonates. Everything vibrates.
Right. Nothing is solid, and that, taking that to the next level, if nothing is solid, then, you know, what does that mean about reality? We think of reality as being these solid objects all around us, but that's not the case.
Well, I think that maybe our reality, as far as this heavy, dense world we live in, or this reality we live in, that I think that's going to happen for the next half an hour. But I mean, this reality. I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, everybody in this reality of whatever we want to call it, we look at everything as, well, it's solid. It's a solid object. It's a solid table that we're broadcasting this show on right now. It's
right.
Solid walls that are around us, but there's much more to them than that.
Right, and you're imposing limitations that really don't exist by saying that something is completely solid, you can't get through it,
mm-hmm.
you can't go in between it.
You know, it really is not. The table that your hands are on, your computers are on, or whatever, you know, if you could look at it at the quantum level, you would actually see how it's vibrating, and it would not appear to you to be a solid object like it does.
Yes. Let's take a quick break.
I think that's a good idea, because I
want that to sink in.
There's more to that than there's like a, what do they call it, synchronicity, too.
Sure.
In that, what happens is, I just saw, a special from History Channel or something on Tesla.
Oh,
and he decided a very similar thing. Of course, it wasn't as deep, but he decided at some point that everything has a vibration, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And he decided that if you could find the vibration for an object or a material, that you could actually destroy it. And what you could do...
Well, what a useful way of applying that.
He made what he called an earthquake machine.
I know all of this.
A whole chapter devoted to Tesla.
There we go. So we're going to talk more about the resonance key with authors Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman coming up after this musical break.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn a second language? The Moonsetta Stone method unlocks your natural ability to learn a language. Even if you try and fail with other methods, you'll be surprised how quickly we'll learn with our method. Have you ever wanted to learn how to speak Box? Well, with Moonsetta Stone, you can learn how to speak Box in a very short time. You learn naturally, with no translation or memorization. Engage interactively. Get money from people by learning how to pretend you know what the Box is saying, and speak confidently. Act like you know what you're talking about, and have fun. It's always fun to rip people off, isn't it? Use the Moonsetta Stone method to rip people off. But don't take my word for it. Here's some testimonials.
I like to cheat on my boyfriend, but I always had trouble doing it and getting away with it. Ever since I've learned to speak Box with the Moonsetta Stone system, when my boyfriend asks me, "Have you been cheating on me?" I just tell him, "He falls for it. It works every time. Thank you, Moonsetta Stone. You've helped me achieve my life goal, to be a whore. Thank you.
I like to go around and steal people's wallets. Now that I know Box, whenever the cops catch me, I just tell them, they let me go. Suckers. Thanks, Moonsetta Stone. You've helped me rip people off and get away with it. That's cool. I've always wanted to learn a second language, but thought I was too damn dumb. But then I took the Moonsetta Stone system and used it to learn how to speak Box. My friends couldn't believe that I knew how to speak Box. So, when we went to the restaurant, and I said, they were amazed. Then, I went to the strip club, and I told the stripper, and she said,
meet me in the back room. This one's on the house.
The Moonsetta Stone system worked for me. Now, I've got some rich friends that I know, and I'm going to use my second language, a Box, to get some money out of them. I'm just going to tell them. And then I'm going to use the money to start a magazine.
Yes, the Moonsetta Stone system will help you to speak the language of Box. Learn how to speak Box and rip people off and bully people better than you ever thought you could. Get the Moonsetta Stone Box system today.
Thank you.
having some fun on the break.
Sorry, I missed it.
You missed the party, Doug.
Doug and I were having our own fun.
Yes, ooh. We were talking about the quotes list.
The what's list?
The quotes.
What
quotes? The annual quotes list.
Oh,
that
your
guys. Bonnie puts out, yeah.
The Bonnie and Doug club?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's everybody's club now.
Well, with the
you've actually made it twice this year. I think
what
it's
were my
a record.
Quotes? What were my quotes?
Oh. The one I don't think
take
I can say
out,
on the...
Please
take
that
out of my butt, Amber. But
really? I said that?
Yes.
You said that. We wrote it down that night.
Wow, that's awesome.
And Bumpy Cake is Bumpy Crack.
Oh, yeah. Bumpy Cake is Bumpy Crack. I have to agree. Bumpy Cake is the best.
We're talking to Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman about The Resonance Key, the new book. The website's mariedjones.com and, of course, paraexplorers.com.
Also, www.rpast.org.
Oh, that's right.
It's Larry's site, too. Yeah, I'm sorry. I usually have all these sites on one page, and we can make it a lot easier on ourselves.
But now we have it on three different pages.
This week I slacked through that.
If you go to one site, we link to each other. Oh. They all link together, so
beautiful.
You'll
perfect.
Find them all.
Beautiful. We were talking about, before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, our reality and the denseness and how it's perceived to be such a dense world. But really, like you said, Larry, on a quantum level, there's a lot more to it than that.
Absolutely.
And let's run with that a little bit. I mean, you know, before we went to break, you mentioned, yeah, again, on a quantum level, there is, well, we were talking about Tesla, actually, so we have to stick with Tesla here. And Doug, I'm gonna dump on you here.
Okay.
Because you were the one that kind of launched that off.
I know, I'm
Tesla.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's a good thing.
Well, he obviously was a big into energy, right? He wanted to make the biggest Tesla coil, like,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
hundreds of stories high and give free energy to everybody and,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. And he was reputed to...
That bastard Edison screwed it all up. Let's just say it.
And, yeah, so he was big into energy and things like that. And he really did think that you could, and I think this was even on MythBusters at one point, and mm-hmm, they stopped. I remember watching it. They mm-hmm stopped the experiment. They thought that if you could get a little hammer and just go, I'm going to try and do this on my microphone, so you guys are going to be like, oh, that happens all the time. But
yeah,
if you can hear this, it goes.
Yeah.
And you do that tapping, just a light tap. It doesn't have to be like a jackhammer, blah, 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 blah. You know, it just has to be a light tap.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you do it at the right frequency, that you could actually convince a bridge to destroy itself. And they did that on MythBusters, and the bridge engineer guy said, okay, that's enough, stop it.
Why don't you do the thing, like, why don't they just do the thing like Dune, where they just went, rah! And they yelled at it and it fell apart.
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask.
You guys have a whole I'm sorry, that was dumb. You guys have a whole chapter, though, in the Resonance Key.
So, was he onto something?
Oh, hell yeah. We called it Behind the Resonance Renaissance, and he was probably the Renaissance man. I think he was probably at the forefront of resonance research. He didn't start it, but I think he took it the furthest of anyone, you know, probably even today, too. I don't know, Larry, you might disagree with that. But.
No, I definitely agree. I mean, he is probably, you know, Einstein is probably one of my favorites, but I would say Tesla is probably the original.
He's more maverick.
Well, Tesla was a hands-on kind of guy, and as we know, Einstein, I mean, he was a theoretical physicist.
He
thought about everything. He couldn't figure it out necessarily. He'd get people to do that. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it's very important. He had really cool ideas, which we were talking about on the break.
And
right?
He had some really cool hair, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tesla actually would, you know, he could theorize these things and apply them. That's how brilliant the guy was. I mean, he is, in my opinion, he's my favorite. I mean, I'm a huge Tesla fan. I'll always be a huge Tesla fan.
Even to this day, I think there's probably things that Tesla experimented with and that was able to come to fruition that have been classified by the government that we'll probably never find out about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I believe that.
Again, I think it's because he saw, I mean, as far as resonance is concerned, he obviously saw more to what that table was in front of him as what we would, well, what he saw was different from what we saw.
Right.
And he always thought through these things. Now, we kind of, like, laid down resonance here, and, you know, it's an all-encompassing thing, like you guys said, though, too. How would it apply to, I mean, as far as the paranormal and ghost hunting is concerned? I mean, is there any type of things that you guys were able to kind of work out or maybe stumble upon that may explain maybe hauntings or something like that?
Absolutely. You know, Yeah, quite a few. I would say probably my favorite example when we're asked this very similar question is regarding the work of Vic Tandy. Vic Tandy was a what was he exactly? He was a some type of an engineer.
Right, and he found Radio Shack, the corporation, Radio Shack.
He was one of the founders of it, or his family or something. But, yeah, he Vic Tandy, he was a professor at Coventry University. He was also an engineer by trade. One evening he was working in his – do you guys know this story?
No, we don't. Let's hear it.
Okay, all right, cool. I didn't want to be repeating this.
No.
Well, one evening he was down working in his lab, and apparently Mr. Tandy was an avid fencer, which here in the U.S. we really don't have a whole lot of, but fencing is a big sport over in England, and it's basically people trying to stab each other with these long swords.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like an awesome sport. I wish we did have that here.
Bonnie wanted to try
I
that on me.
I wish we had that in Ghostly Talk.
Poking each other.
So you could spear Scott?
Yeah. That'd be fun for me.
Thanks, Larry. Well, Encourager.
I really don't need it, but thank you.
Funny thing, Mr. Tandy was down in his lab working, and he was in the process of straightening his fencing foil. And the foil is actually what we call the sword, but they actually call it a foil over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long, straight object. He had it in a vise, and he was apparently trying to straighten it out.
I think in your sentence you need to put working in quotes. You said he was in his lab working, and you needed to do the air quotes. Yeah, because that's pretty much what I do when I work with air quotes.
He was working his hobby stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Well, the lab that he worked in was reportedly haunted by many, many people. People have had various experiences at this place, so people had believed this to be a haunted location. Well, he's there working late at night, and he was a very skeptical individual. I say he was. He passed away a couple of years ago, and I actually had the honor of talking with him a couple of times before he died. But he, out of the corner of his eye, he was sitting at his desk. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw a black shadow moving from behind him. He kind of had that sense of somebody watching him. And when he turned to look, he saw what he believed to be a black shadow moving. So he you know, looked around, couldn't find anything, looked around some more, still couldn't find anything. So he really wanted to explain it from a scientific perspective, what was happening. He didn't believe in ghosts. He didn't believe what he was experiencing was, you know, really a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
He was very much wanting to see evidence of what it was. Well, it ends up, long story short, they ended up discovering that they had done some duct work in the lab a couple of weeks previous. And apparently there was a duct, an air duct, that was immediately over the top of the vise where his fencing foil was attached. And what was happening was when the air would kick on, it was vibrating the foil. And it was vibrating the foil in a way that caused it to vibrate at a infrasonic frequency. And what they were able to finally determine was the specific infrasonic frequency that was occurring from the metal vibrating back and forth in the vise was causing the water within his eyes basically to vibrate. So there was a physiological reason why he was seeing what he was seeing. There wasn't really anything paranormal there, but due to the fact of resonance affecting his eyeball, affecting the water within his eye, the liquid within his eye, he was actually seeing something that wasn't there. So that could very well be an explanatory agent for, you know, at least some of the cases of hauntings.
Right.
You know,
and
seeing something of a visual nature like that. It could be due to, you know, a physiological something that's happening in the body from resonance.
Okay.
Right. We talk a lot about the work of Michael Persinger. We talk about paraconsciousness, which is a state of consciousness that allows people to have paranormal experiences. It can be achieved by using hallucinogens, DMT, salvia. It can be achieved when you're exposed to high levels of electromagnetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different ways that our brains can be triggered.
Well, here's one.
That was one of the things that we looked at.
Here's one I want to. I just thought of when you were talking about the vibration in that situation. My mom used to have one of those vibrating massage pillows. You know, those ones you'd sit on and it would just.
Oh, thank heavens you said that.
Oh, yeah, shut up!
That,
my mother, for God's sake.
That, That could have really gone the wrong way.
No, we're not. I'm trying to make a good point here, and these two potty mouths
Hey, look, you said vibrating. You know how my mind works.
As soon as you said that.
Listen, we're running out of time.
We also just had similar
things. Okay, yeah. It was a pillow, had a battery in it. You lay your head on there. What I used to do is I used to lay, I'd watch TV on the couch, and I put my head on this vibrating pillow, and it would make my head go, you know.
Oh, so you get to see everything all jittery.
No, it was a trip. Because you put your head on the pillow, and I'd watch the TV screen would start doing, like, the wavy thing. And maybe that's the same thing you're talking about there, Larry, where the water in your eyes starts to rattle a little bit, and it gives you that weird, response with it, the way the screen was doing.
Absolutely.
The same thing.
It could be, another aspect of paranormal phenomena. You know, paranormal investigators strongly believe that EMF, is the sign of a ghost. Well, I can tell you it's not. When we get actually into talking more about that, we can talk about that later. But, high EMF levels, which is a form of resonance, it's a form of energy, a form of a frequency resonance, there's physiological changes that occur within the body from that. I joke with Marie about this. I could be the poster child to this. I had a very interesting experience on one of our investigations due to high EMF. I didn't think that I had any ability to be influenced by EMF at all, but apparently I was.
Mm-hmm.
But EMF can certainly affect your brain function. It's kind of like in the military they use something called chafe or chaff. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
The jet fighters use it, and it's bits and pieces of metal, basically, that confuses radar, where when the radar signal bounces off the chaff, it returns back all these weird, unusual signals. Well, EMF is very, very similar to that in that your brain can get confused by what occurs from the EMF.
Mm-hmm.
So an EMF field basically can make you perceive things that are not there. The work of Dr. Michael Persinger, where he's actually stimulated the temporal lobes of people using EMF, electromagnetic fields, and targeting specific brain areas, has elucidated very much the same thing. He's able to produce what he's called the sensed presence, which in paranormal parlay would be shadow people, visual apparitions, things like that. So he's actually been able to create that in people by zapping their brain.
Well, this is going to upset people, guys.
Sounds very much like the Fritzer that...
the brain Fritzer.
Yeah, the brain
Fritzer. Fritzer that they used down in Virginia. But this is, and we've been talking about, the EMF phenomena here for a while, too. And a lot... You guys aren't the only ones, I have to say, that I agree with on this. As you said a minute ago, Larry, EMF field, well, there's a ghost. It's got to be a ghost, guys! There's a ghost here! Yeah, and
it's unexplainable.
People are using this as their centralized means of detecting a ghost. First of all, you can't detect a ghost.
What's really interesting about that? Who came up with that in the first place?
Somebody who wants to sell EMF meters. What do you think?
I think the Tri-Field Corporation.
EMF meter, really, the design of that initially was designed, well, most EMF meters that are consumer grade level stuff were initially designed for being able to determine levels of EMF put out by your cell phone or by your microwave.
Yeah.
They really weren't designed for, quote, ghost hunting. But whoever came up with the idea that a ghost, or whatever you really want to call it, emits an EM field, or there is some type of an EM field associated with that. I mean, really, there's been no scientific evidence to really show a correlation between a high electromagnetic field and a true unexplained phenomena. That something, when I say true unexplained, I mean something that can't be explained
any other way.
Yeah, by your brain.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, my favorite story is always going to be the one from Doug from New York with Chris and Jonathan. When they were in, where there was a high EMF field coming off, and they were very briefly.
So
there's a ghost here! Oh my God! Well, our friend Jonathan is a master. He works on it. I mean, he fixes airplanes. He's a master electrician. The guy has got, the other guy, Chris, is a
scientist.
He's a mad scientist. He's a chemist. He's a mad scientist.
Absolutely mad.
So these are two guys you can't get too much by, right? And they were able to dig into the floorboards and go, okay, yeah. Jonathan said, you got unshielded wire here, but it's literally hanging out exposed.
Right.
That's the ghost. And they didn't want to believe that, but point is that, you know, there's a good example of being detecting something like that and going, well, yeah, well, here's a way to explain it. This is not a ghost, all right?
Absolutely. And I would say probably almost 99% of the investigations that we do, and we do a lot of investigating, we've got some unbelievable equipment. We've got, you know, over $250,000 worth of equipment that we use. And, you know, with the equipment that we've got, we're able to explain probably about 99% of what people consider to be a paranormal event or a haunting due to environmental effects such as that, unshielded wiring, you know, breaker boxes that are not shielded, things like that, where there's not anything paranormal that's occurring, but it's an environmental stressor basically that is affecting us. It's physiologically affecting us. So our perception is something that, you know, it's outside of our normal realm of what's normal for us, so we label it paranormal, but it's really not paranormal for the most part. It's just, you know...
It's anomalous. It's something that's anomalous. I mean,
exactly, right.
And we've run into the same kind of things where we're like, well, you know what? We've done everything we can here to rule this thing out, but we can't. I mean, and we're not going to run to the Sun Tribune or the National Enquirer and go, oh, my God, we have proof right here. But we're going to, you know, hold on to that and maybe talk about it on our show here a little
bit.
Whatever, you know.
Proof is absolutely meaningless. If you cannot show me the cause of that, it's meaningless. Mm. I think there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. But if you can't tell me why it's happening, how it's happening, what the mechanism is.
And repeat it. Repeat it also.
Yeah, I don't care how much proof you have. I don't care how many EVP you have. I don't care how many videos you have. Show me the cause. That's all I care about.
Well, that's why I don't even refer to the stuff that we've gotten in the past as evidence anymore. I just say, hey, this is some stuff we have. Because what is it evident for? I mean, what is it evidence of? What evidence? I mean, it's interesting stuff. It's cool stuff. But
it
isn't evidence by any means, really, if you think about it. So
no, but, you know... No, I was just going to say, if you look at, I wouldn't say every paranormal group that's out there, but there's a lot of paranormal groups that are out there that, you know, that is more than proof enough for them.
Oh, yeah.
Really, for me and me, and it sounds like you guys as well.
We need something to put on their MySpace page. Come on, Larry.
Right. But you know what? Larry and I are asking the questions. Is this interior, is this stuff going on inside of our brains?
Mm-hmm.
Is this an exterior phenomena? Is this stuff coming at us from outside? We need to figure out what the mechanism is by which it comes into our level of reality and we see it and experience it. Or is it a combination of the two?
Right.
And until we start asking those questions, I don't care. You can show me a video of a ghost, you know, doing a tap dance. I don't care. Show me the money. Show me the cause.
That's what it comes down to, though, really, is... Yeah, we've all, everybody sitting in this room and, you know, you guys, you know, talking to us right now, I know we've seen things that, you know, someone who doesn't study this stuff, you know, on a regular basis, it would freak them out probably. I mean, I've seen some stuff that startled me, that sent a chill down my spine.
Sure.
But really, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not like running with it going, okay, we got to have this person on the show. We need to talk in depth about this. We need to really get in. This is the main, no, it's like, well, you know what? It's a very cool little thing you have there, but, you know, can you repeat it? That's my big thing. Can you repeat
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at it, if you look at things from a scientific methodology, you know, you look at it from the scientific perspective, is there repeatability? No, there's really not. For the most part, you know, groups, even my group to some extent, have this as an issue. You know, there's control issues, first of all. You know, is the environment exactly the same in a repeatable fashion every single time that you've gone there? Well, no, generally things
can't. That's impossible to do. It's
absolutely
impossible.
You know, it's not a controlled lab environment, so it's damn near impossible to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that you can completely eliminate any external influence that may be occurring? No, generally not. It's pretty difficult. We have some equipment. We have a Faraday cage that we use, for instance, and some things like that. But, you know, there's really no way. The whole paranormal thing, it's kind of like it's a mystery wrapped within a riddle. You know, I'm not so sure that we'll ever actually get 100% of the answers.
We won't.
Because you know, there's no way to scientifically test the phenomena completely. No. You know, I think we can explain a lot of what's going on, but there's definitely still some things that you leave yourself scratching your head saying, you know, how do you explain this from a black and white perspective? And I'm not sure that it'll ever be done.
You can't do it. You can't do it. We've been saying it here for years, guys. You can't.
But you know what? We're driven to do it anyway. We're driven to look anyway, seeking. But the problem is, we're not going to get anywhere close to even attempting to come up with a viable theory unless we stop spinning our wheels, doing the same damn thing over and over again, getting the same damn results,
mm-hmm.
and try to break out of the box a little bit. And again, it's this emphasis on the effects that drives me nuts. I'm on Twitter all the time. I love Twitter. It's so fast-paced. And I get to see what all these paranormal groups are up to. And I just want to crack up.
We're all doing the same thing.
We've had that SVP, yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know what? A long, long time ago, human beings pretty much determined that there are things going on an unseen level that we don't understand.
Right.
Duh. Show me some good, solid ideas about where those things might be originating from and what are the mechanisms by which they are using to get here.
Well, Marie, I have to say, and Larry also, unfortunately, per usual on this stupid show we do, we get yelled at all the time. Like, why'd you have my log, you dumb moron? And we're like, well, maybe we should start taking their advice.
Well, apparently I do the complaining.
You complain a lot.
That is how you talk.
That is what I sound like.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
But I have to say, though, unfortunately, we are at the end of the show, but that statement that you said, Marie, and Larry, your points also, they are truly inspiring. I really want to tell you guys that by listening to what you guys have to say about this. This is what it's all about. And we talked briefly on the break before we came back here for this last segment, and we did talk about those things. And it really is inspiring to know that there are people out there that, you know, that are in, like, look, I'm here for the ideas. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow, you know, and that's why I think there's so much more to this field than just, you know, again, I hate to say it, matching T-shirts and MySpace pages and things like that. I've been saying it for years.
Yeah.
But it is truly inspiring, and I really mean that, saying that. I don't say that to every – you know that, Doug. I don't say it to every guest that comes on here. It is inspiring.
Well, have to back on, and we'll finish this conversation.
We should.
We didn't actually talk about the book.
Well, you know, we
– But let's talk about the book briefly, though. Let's do that. Where can the book be found?
Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, pretty much any of your finer bookstores, or you can buy it online at Amazon.com.
Okay, everywhere. Great. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? That really sucks. We didn't talk that much about the book.
We tried.
You guys have to have us back on.
Like ghost hunting, whenever I go out ghost hunting, there often is a large part of the night is talking around the subject about everything except
but you gotta understand
the ghost
all
that you're
that,
on,
you know. So,
but yeah, it's all related. The books are The Resonance Key. That's the current book, and then of course the one before that, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon by Marie D. Jones.
And regardless of that, we did cover a lot of stuff here.
And Larry Flaxman. Yes, we did.
We did hammer through
that. He said things that needed to be said.
Oh yeah. And that's what we do here. We were talking about that earlier in the show here. You know, well, you know what? We're a new kind of thing here. You know, we've taken 2009 and we've run with it, I think. And these are the people we like to talk to, Larry and Marie. Because, it isn't about spinning our wheels anymore. And you can only talk about ghost hunting and things like that. There's ideas out there that need to be explored, and that's what we're trying to do on this show now. So thank you, Larry and Marie.
Thank you.
Yeah,
as usual, you guys are a blast.
Okay.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
Yeah. Hang on the line for one thing, guys. Don't leave us just yet. We're just going to close the show out here. Hang tight.
Excellent. We got to talk about the
people we talked.
Well, we got to not talk about the resonance. We got to talk about.
We talked about it.
And not Area 51. We talked about UFOs.
Roswell.
That's it. We talked
about
Roswell.
Christ, you got the notes right in front of you.
I'm not looking at them. You take them away every time you look at them. And we got to talk about Roswell, and of course we got to talk about the upcoming Chicago Ghost Conference.
Yeah, we're going to be there full force.
We're going to be there this upcoming weekend in Chicago at wherever it's
the Portage Theater.
The Portage Theater. Thank you very much. And so it's been quite a show. I really, really love it.
Had a lot of fun.
Of course,
be back.
You guys.
We're going to be gone next week again, though.
Gone next weekend.
Sorry.
But it is October starting.
And we're working
just a few days. So
busy season for us paranormal dorks. So.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, everybody, for coming out and sharing your ideas. Absolutely phenomenal show tonight. I think it was hilarious and fun and quite a ride.
Educational.
Just in time. For October. I am Doug.
I am Scott L.
And I'm Amy.
And we'll see you when we return in 2 weeks.